I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We're going to start with the reports and communications, the superintendent's update.
Can you guys hear me okay? All right, we're trying out this new owl thing. So it's supposed to move to the person who's speaking and show them. So we'll see how it goes. All right, just have a few things to report. First of all, I want to report on our attendance. We've seen a significant decrease in the absences since the beginning of the year. It's great news, as we have having students in the class daily is the best way to educate them. Our independent study program from having to quarantine students has dropped off significantly. We were at a point where it was almost unmanageable with the quarantine. And so that's all rectified itself. Middle school sports, Bear River is finishing up volleyball and football and starting basketball. As you guys are aware from previously, all indoor sports, i.e. volleyball and basketball, will require facial coverings while playing. So that happened with the volleyball. We have received an update as of yesterday that for basketball, they will not need to wear the mask while playing. If they are tested weekly, they will still wear the mask while on the bench, and all coaches and spectators are required to wear facial coverings. At this time, we're continuing to limit spectators to family members of players only. No other students will be allowed to attend. So that's a good thing for the players, because running up and down the court with a mask on is just...
So our volleyball players had to wear a mask?
They did, yeah. And it's and that's everywhere, not just middle school. And in fact, we had one team that refused, and so we stopped playing them because it put everybody in jeopardy at that point. I'm happy to report that the middle school is having their first dance in about a year and a half. It'll be the Halloween dance, which will be held on October 28th from 5:30 to 7:30. And they're going to do it in the quad, so it's outside. The theme is 80s Halloween. Just an update on the Calaterra Ranch. If you've been over that way, you see a lot of earth being moved. Actually, you can see some roads going in. So the infrastructure work is continuing to move at a rapid pace. Not sure that the weather won't hold it back now, but we'll see. And they're still expecting to have a few models up and ready to be viewed by the end of the year. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what they're saying. Field trips, I'm happy to report. We've had a number of field trips, and it's so nice to get the students back on the buses, not on the field trips. They've gone to a fairy tale town. They've gone to the over to Yuba City for a science environmental thing. They've gone to Bishop's, of course, and there's a couple more planned for the next few weeks. So it's great to get kids back out and seeing what's outside of just their classroom. COVID testing, we've begun the required employee testing and have also added volunteer testing. Overall, it's gone extremely well. I would encourage parents that are going to go on field trips to get tested the day or a day or two before the field trip. Trying to get tested the morning of the trip is a bit of a problem if numbers are high. So we had this happen at Wheatlandale this week where they were, I think they were going to Fairy Tale Town, and a large number of parents wanted to get tested that morning. And it does become problematic. So that's why we have a 72-hour window so they can come in ahead of time and get tested. So we'll try and get that out there. Preschool's been doing that and it's worked out well. We, you know, test two or three a day and it throughout the day, and it's not impacting, but they had an impact at Wheatlandale. Speaking of impact, impact aid forms went out electronically. We have an annual impact aid day. We are waiting still for a few of them to come back, and but most of the families, I believe, have returned the forms. Just reminding everybody that this funding is tied to being on a military base, and it's important because we do not receive property taxes for houses on military bases. So this is to make up for that loss of property tax money. So we need all of them to be filled out and brought back. Last I have for this part is the trunk or treat. Both the district and the transportation department will be participating in the annual trunk or treat event at the parking lot of the Dollar General. It'll be on Friday, October 29th, and it's from 1 to 4. The district has a minimum day on that same day, so hopefully all the kids that would like to attend can do so. Every year it's been great. I think this is the third or fourth year, and we love participating, and we'll have one of our buses out there, assuming we don't have a shortage of buses or something on that day. So yeah, it's, I know. We'll have the buses. It's whether we have a driver to get it there. So yeah, it should be fun. And then I'll just move on to attendance. At the time of the agenda, we had 1,349 students, 69 more students than we had last year, 27 less than we had in September. We have 138 students in the preschool program, which is 50 more than we had last year. We have a total of 1,487 in all groups, which is 119 students more than we had last year at this time. So that's all I have for the superintendent's report. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? We'll move on to communication from the public. Are there any communications?
Just me. Do you want me to stand up?
No. Over by the owl?
No, we'll see if it goes towards you when you start talking.
Okay, the owl comes.
Does it move?
It's supposed to, yeah.
Okay. Let's see. I just wanted to thank Angela Galker and Jody Jafflett and Mr. Gunsler for meeting with us or having a Zoom with us, trying to work out everything with the fire evacuation thing. So, as you know, we had another fire on the day, so... Thank you guys for all you did and for throughout everything just helping us out. We appreciate that. We're offering a parent 1-3 magic class on December the 7th. And we'll have two sessions. It'll be via Zoom. The first session will be from 9 to 11, so for morning parents. And then we're going to also offer a 6 to 8 in the evening for there are some parents that may not be able to make the morning, but they can make the afternoon. Everything's free, so they'll get a free book and some goodies. Also, the base is having a treat, trunk or treat, October 22nd, and that's from 5:30 to 7:30. They're also having a huge parade. There's gonna be about 20 plus different agencies that are actually decorating floats and going to go around. So that is on October 29th. And let's see. We have a sensory event also for our children and our families who have special needs. And that'll be on the 29th of October at 4 p.m. at the community center.
29th is going to be a busy day.
Yeah, it is a big day. It's like, yeah, let's try to find the thing. And let's see. Last but not least, the Military Child of the Year, Bear River, do they have 13-year-olds there?
And do we have 13?
Yeah, okay, because yeah. It actually is for children 13 through 18. And the applications or the nomination forms are due December the 1st. So if you know a military child that you'd like to nominate, a teacher can nominate, parents can nominate. I mean, but you guys talk together and make sure it's all right and all that. But I have all the information. I can get it over to you too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. So we'd love to see some kids from this district, you know, go for it. So, and it's good stuff because they'll win. If they win, they'll win $10,000. They go to a big gala. So it's really cool. Really, really cool.
Wow.
Any questions?
Yeah, the parade route, where would that be?
I think it's through the base housing. Mr. Buck?
Correct. It'll be through base housing.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. And Mr. Buck is sitting in today for us. He's our leader, our military rep today. Thank you, Mr. Buck.
You're welcome. Hey, Annette, also the trick-or-treating for On Base is going to be on the 30th.
Oh, I forgot about the trick-or-treating. So much trick-or-treating, so much trunk or trunk and everything else. So thank you. That's right. Perfect. It's a whole separate event. So thank you.
Are there any other communications from the public?
I had a quick question. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Is that Lorraine?
Yes.
I was so happy to hear you guys talk about the quarantine going way down. So children are, you know, back in school, and that's great. Thank you for that. My quick question is, I've talked to some parents, and there were many kids that were going through these quarantinings at the beginning, and you guys agree that there was a lot of them. And in that, their grades suffered. They had trouble switching from distant learning back to the classroom. And there's a dance coming up, and I know that normally you have to have a certain GPA for this dance, but how do you guys going to handle the kids that were forced to quarantine and impacted their grades, and now their grades are starting to rise because there's less quarantining and they're getting punished by not being able to go to the school dance? Is there something that can be done about that?
I think if there's an individual situation that you could talk to the administration about that, that we do have specific rules in place for going to dances, grades and attendance and so on and so forth. But if there's an extenuating circumstance, I would definitely reach out and try to see if there's anything that can be done. It just depends on what the situation is.
Yeah, and it's not my children. I'm just saying overall, there was several children. And I think like it is a definitely an extenuating circumstance with having the pandemic and all the quarantines going on. I was just wondering if someone was keeping an eye out and making sure that these kids aren't feeling, you know, punished for having to quarantine and miss so much school.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know that at least one or two parents have reached out to the administration over there, and they've had that conversation. So I'm sure that the administration is looking at it carefully and seeing what they can do.
Great, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to move on to the consent agenda. Are there any questions?
If no questions, I would move we approve the consent agenda.
Second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, passed. Moving on to 5.1. Approval of the school site safety plans.
So 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3 are all annual plans that have to come forward. They always come forward to you at this meeting in October. So the first one are the school safety plans. So each year, the sites are required to go through their previous year safety plan, update it, and make sure that everything still meets the criteria. I know that at Lone Tree, they do a lot of work with security forces on that as well. So these are the three plans that have come forward for the three schools on safety.
Are we gonna vote on all three of these at the same time, or?
You could, you can, you should, unless somebody wants to pull one aside. So
I'll take a motion on 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3.
Oh, I'm sorry. Only 5.1 would be one motion, all three schools in that motion.
Okay. 5.1 with all three schools.
I make a motion to approve the site safety plans, 5.1.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to 5.2 then, approval of the individual school SIP plans.
So the SIP plans run through their school site council. Again, they're yearly plans, and the administrators and their teams have met with their school site council to update their SIP plans. Happy to answer any questions on individuals, or the principals are here too if there are any questions.
Any questions? I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
So approved. Moving to 5.3, approval of the master plan for English learners. Success.
So we have a DLAC committee, which is our district English language committee. They do one plan for the district, not individual school plans. Mr. Town is in charge of that committee, and they met and updated the master plan for English learners from last year to this year. So this is brought to you, and there's two of them. There's one in English, and then it's been also written in Spanish.
Any questions? Can I have a motion?
So motion.
Second?
Second.
Yeah, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
So passed. 5.4, approval of the expenditure plan for ESSER 3.
So this is a plan that we're required to do for the ESSER money. ESSER money is tied to COVID relief, I guess you would say. And it's an interesting funding mechanism. The federal government put the expenditure or the amount together, sent it to California. They broke it into each district's allotment. We are allotted $1.3 million for specific areas of growth for students, safety for students, et cetera. The caveat to it is that we're have to make a plan, but they've only given us $100,000 of the $1.3 million. So they're gonna roll it out in a fashion that is like 10% per quarter. So it's gonna take 2 years, unless they change something, 2 to 3 years to get all the money into the district. So this is the initial plan that we've put together on where, and what you'll see in the plan when you read it was most of it says the district will reserve funds for, because we don't have the funds yet to actually spend them. So going through the plan just quickly, we put aside about $780,000 for continuous and safe in-person learning. And then $270,000, which is a minimum of 20% of the money, has to go towards addressing lost instructional time. And a lot of that goes towards increasing the time of our paraeducators. And then a use of remaining funds. So then you go into the plan itself, and we put $132,000 aside for PPE supplies. Now, what I will tell you is that we will probably go through that, because we are continually having to buy masks and cleaners and things like that. So that number will probably jump up at some point, but that's what we put aside for now. And then health and safety, we're looking at employing an LVN to help with the COVID testing, tracing, working with medically fragile students. We have an employee who has decided to leave the district, and she was a health aide. So we're taking that and converting it to an LVN position because they have the ability to also work with some of our medically fragile kids. So that's in one section. And then moving down, the district is going to reserve funds for the extension of services for special education, ELD, and other needed. So if we have students that are falling behind in special education, we'll have some money to maybe do a better summer school program or something like that to help with that. And then the para time and then summer learning. So we put money aside for all of those. And then you move on to the remaining funds, looking at adding some counseling services, maybe bringing in some behavioral specialist at some point. We're looking at potentially trying to hire our own OT because we have a lot of kids that need occupational therapy. So all of that is built into this plan. Whether we can find those people is always
how many students difficult. Do we actually have that need OT?
I can't tell you the actual number, but it appears to me that about 70% of every IEP comes with occupational therapy these days. I don't know the actual number, but we spend a significant amount of money on services by buying OT services from an outside vendor. So if we could hire our own, it may cost us a little more, but we have them there every day, right? And they can work with kids every day. But they are very difficult to find. And usually the vendors that you buy OT services for charge you a lot because they pay them a lot. So they're not going to come necessarily over here unless they're looking for more of a long-term built retirement system, et cetera, et cetera. But it doesn't stop us from looking. So we'll try. Well,
and how many days a week are we providing OT services currently? And are we using more than one OT provider?
I believe so. Ange, can you answer that question?
OT services are pretty much between IEPs and assessments every single day, district-wide. And they're currently, we have two providers, but we've had to actually contract with Plumas Lake for a third provider, just because with between the preschool, the taking over the SDC programs, and then our gen ed, special ed students that are receiving services, we've maxed the numbers.
So basically 5 days a week.
Yeah,
we're using steps, but one of the things steps is having a problem finding them. And so that's why we've contracted with Plumas Lake, who did actually hire somebody. And so they're coming over to do our preschool OT, which is kind of a nice switch because we're doing all their SDC. Remember when we pulled back from the county, they also pulled back from the county, but we combined, we're doing it, and then we charge them for doing that. So this will be kind of an offset for them providing services. So it works well.
Good.
So that's what I have for that. I will tell you that it's a fluid plan because as we find out more or need to do something different, we can move this money around however we need to. But we do need to remember what it is one-time only money. So when you spend it, it goes away. It's not going to be here for 10 years ongoing. But the way that they're... The way that they're giving it to us makes it difficult to do something big right now. You just kind of have to wait till you get enough money to get something going and then hope that you can repeat that if it worked well maybe next year.
So will our vote be to just approve the plan?
Your vote is to approve the plan with the understanding that the plan...
But also the expenditure.
The plan has expenditures in there. There's no expenditures at this point because it's all... earmarked for future expenditures.
Okay. So, when are we looking to fly the LVN position?
It's flown right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any further questions?
So if
I have a couple questions. How many medically fragile students do we have that we're spending money to hire an LVN, which you said this is one-time money, so that's not going to continue coming in every year? So then it's going to have to come out of a different budget, like within the years following. So how many, do you have a number on how many medically fragile kids we have in the school?
I do have a number, but I'm not going to release that number. But what I will tell you is we have some children that are diabetic. We have some children that are tube fed, and we have other medically fragile children. So there's a significant number that need extra attention. The LVN, as I said, when I kind of explained it, part of that is funding that we were using for a health aid, which was general fund funding, will be offset because that health aid has quit, that we will use that in the future as well. The 1.3 million, if we put aside what an LVN will cost us, we can get at least 3 years out of this money towards that LVN, and then the money we're saving on the health aid that we didn't replace can be earmarked for future expenditures of that LVN.
And then you talked about at the beginning that $780,000 towards, I thought you said continuous education. What does that actually mean?
So it's basically the money that they've given towards education to keep students in school. And then, so continuous education, like not going back on distance learning. And then also there are some districts that are offering summer school programs that are ramped up from what we typically do, which is a summer program, but it's not necessarily teachers teaching and working with students that need it. So that's the money that's put aside for that is for continuous learning within the classroom.
I'm sorry, it's just might be me. I know you talked about the summer education at a different part of the budget later on. So the continuous education, I guess I still don't understand, or just to make sure I'm understanding what exactly, because $780,000 is a lot of money. What exactly is that entailed? Is there like a more detailed report?
Yeah, if you look at the plan, the $780,000 is a combination of the things that I mentioned. So $250,000 of that is for extended learning, for special education, ELD, and then another $150,000. So when you start adding those up, it equals the $782,000. It's not separate and apart from the other things that I already mentioned. It's just when you do the plan, it adds up what's within that section for the extended learning. So for example, it's going to add in the health and safety portion of the plan to make all those numbers equal to 782. They didn't give it to us that way. They're giving us 1.3 million. Then we have to break it down to where we're going to spend it. That 782 could turn out to be 500,000 because we find out that the addressing the lost instructional time, we need to go from 270 to 600,000. It's a fluid number, but that's how it's added up within the plan itself.
Are you guys going to be providing any after school services for the kids that are just really behind? I know that they always do the summer school one. That's something that's normal. And I did sign my kids up for that, but especially with the kids with IEPs or any kid that needs additional instruction, could this money be used towards additional hours of educating, like an after school program?
It can be used for pretty much anything the district chooses to use it for. So if we already are doing some academic intervention after school programs for an hour, I think it's 2 days a week or something like that. So we have some of that going 3 days a week. Thank you, Ange. We all, of course, have our regular after school program, which is a totally different funding mechanism. And then for special ed students, their IEP would drive what additional services they would need.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know there was any after-school programs that are going on.
There's homework club that's been going on at Bear River for years, and then there's AI at the 4 and 5 level.
Okay, I was told homework club wasn't going to go happen this year because of COVID.
No.
Someone told me that.
I don't know who told you that.
Yeah, we still have, that up and running, and we also have our regular after-school program, which is run by Tara and her crew, and that's one you had to sign up for early to get into it. But yeah, we've had all those going all year long.
Good to know.
Any other questions? So I'll entertain a motion for approval of the expenditure for the ESSER III plan.
So moved. Second.
And moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So passed. Any comments from the board? I guess we'll move into closed session.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.